Here's what we're going to talk about in Genesis today. God is able to transform you. God is able to transform you into a person who maybe you don't think that you can be. Okay? And we're going to talk about names and the significance of names. Before we talk about anything, I'm going to ask you a question. Raise your hand to answer, though, so it's not a madhouse. What do you wish your name was? What do you wish? Hey, okay. Broken rule, number one already. Yes, Damien?
Wait, let me think.
Yeah, think about it. What's your dream name? What do you wish your name was? Yeah, Danny. Angel. Okay, nice. Yeah, Danny likes the name Angel. Okay. Zaire? Zaire? You wish your name was Zaire. Congratulations, buddy. Yes, Damien. What? Nick? Like Nicholas or just Nick? Nick. Okay. Sure, I'll go by Nicholas, by Nick. That's cool. Yes, Luke?
Zaire.
Zaire. Yes. Nice. Nice. Anyone else have a dream name? Dream name? Anything else? Anyone else? No one else, really. No one is ever like, I wish I was named this. Yes, Sophia? What was it? Jasmine. All right, Sophia. All right. Anyone else want? No one else thinks about this, huh? Jewel. You wish you were Crystal, huh? Yeah, when you were little. Mm-hmm. You already shared. Go ahead, though.
I have like a whole list.
It's okay. We'll talk about it after. Talk about your list after. All right. Yeah, we all wish. Well, all right, let's bring it in here for a second, just like Bentley did. Oh, Steve?
Thaddeus.
All right. I knew a Thaddeus. Yeah, I knew a Thaddeus. What? Never mind. All right. Very good. Thanks, everyone, for sharing. Thank you all for sharing. I don't... Papa. Yeah, Pops.
Mm-hmm.
Just call me Pops. He already answered a bunch of times. One time. Brett? Brett. Yeah, Damien Wish's name was Brett. I've never been jealous of someone's name before. Not really. What's her middle name? Divinity? That's a cool middle name. Malachi? Zaire Malachi? Hope. All right, Angel. All right, Zaire. What was it? Wow. All right. All right. Very good job talking about names that you wish your name was. Congratulations. Last week, does anyone remember the name of one of the people we talked about last week? Abraham? Anyone else? Well, who else did we talk about last week? A name of someone we talked about last week? Yes, sure. Who else did we talk about last week? What's the name of a person we talked about last week? Asher. Who? Sarah. Yeah, Sarai, right, at that time. And there's one more. Who is Sarai's servant? Hagar. Yes, Bentley. Well, raise your hand. I didn't see it. And I don't believe it either. Okay. What? Yeah. Okay, last week we talked about Hagar, who was Sarai's servant, okay? So Sarai and Abram, they're married, and they have a servant named Hagar. And Sarai and Abram, they wanted children, but they were getting old, and they didn't really believe that they could have children because they were around like 80 to 90 years old, all right? And so they didn't, but God made this promise to Abram, and he said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And Sarai and Abram were like, we don't know how you're going to do that because... like, we can't have children. And so they kind of took it into their own hands. And Sarai told Abram to have a child with her servant, Hagar. Okay, but then Hagar then goes into the wilderness. She runs away from Sarai after this, like, division and conflict between them. And Hagar is just in the wilderness, and she's overlooked and not seen. But then God sees her. Remember we talked about the name Elroy? Hagar calls God the God who sees me. Because in the middle of this wilderness, when she's overlooked, God saw her, right? God noticed her. And so still, Sarai, Hagar has a child, but Sarai, who is Abram's wife, does not have a child. Okay, she's childish. She's childless. And maybe childish as well. Ishmael is growing up, who is Hagar's son, okay? And then God comes to Abraham again. God comes to Abraham again in this passage, and he reminds Abraham of this amazing promise. This promise that he's going to make of Abram a great nation, all right? And give him many offspring. And he gives this promise to Abram and Sarai, and he also gives Abram and Sarai new names. It's kind of weird to call Abram and Sarai Abram and Sarai, because we all know them as what the names that God actually gives to them. And we're going to take a look at these new names that God gives to them and the significance of those names in that day, but also for us today. So we're going to read a passage from Genesis 17 today. We're going to read verses 1 through 8 where God is talking to Abram, and then we're going to read two verses in 15 and 16 where God is talking to Sarai. Okay, so first we're going to read Genesis 17, 1 through 8. So listen as I read this, okay? When Abram was 99 years old, so Abram is almost 100 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring, and after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And then we're going to move a few verses down where God is then talking about Sarai. God says to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. All right, let's pray. God, help us to be just still. As we listen, would you still our hearts? Would you just clear distractions from our minds? Remind us that you are here and you are alive and present with us. Would you give us life even today in this moment? Remind us of the life that you offer to us in Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, you know when first of all, I just want to say again, as you're reading Genesis, we're going to talk about just a little part of this passage today, the significance of the names that God gives to Abram and Sarai. But as I say every week, go home and read it, because you can learn so many. We're going to talk about one thing that we can learn from this passage today, but there are so many other things that just from reading you can learn, okay? So I'm just encouraging you, go home and read Genesis 17 and the rest of the Bible even. So maybe when you were a little kid, you had a pet, maybe like a fish or a dog or something, or maybe a cat, and you gave it a name, right? But sometimes, like when you're a little kid and you name your dog, it's something like simple and like kind of insignificant, like Spot or something, right? Or like Fluffy. Or I had a tadpole one time, and I just named it Monkey. Just named my tadpole Monkey. Because I was just a little kid. Yeah, I was just a little kid. I was a little kid and I was like, this name, it doesn't matter what I name my tadpole, it doesn't matter what I name my dog. Like, as a little kid, I'm just like, I'm just going to name it whatever I want, whatever comes to mind, right? And it's just, it doesn't have any meaning to it, right? Or I had a betta fish. Maybe some of you remember this. I had a betta fish and I had multiple, but my first betta fish that I had in high school, his name was Fedge. F-F-E-J. It was Jeff backwards. Just because. Right? And oftentimes, like these names, maybe you can think of like a pet that you've had one time and you just named it something, or your sibling named it something that was just insignificant, right? They don't have much significance. But as we look at, yeah, Bentley.
I had a cactus and I put it by my window. Uh-huh. And I was trying to think of a name for it. And I was thinking about the window that he was by. Like,
yep. Yes, that.
I don't
know
why.
Boom.
And I got another cactus that died. Yeah. And
That's incredible, Bentley. That's a story that we're going to all remember. Yeah, we're all going to remember that story forever. Yes. All right. Well, that's a great example. Okay, that's a great example. Oftentimes, we just come up with names for our pets that are like, that don't have much significance, right? They're just like names because we look at things and we name them. But here, share about your names later, that you named your pets later. The names that God gives to Abram and Sarai, they are super significant. Okay, they're very significant. They're not just like naming your dog Fluffy because God felt like naming them these names, right? But they actually carry significance with them. Abraham actually means father of many. Abraham means father of many, right? But you know what's ironic about that? Is Abraham, at this point, only has one son. Like, he only has one descendant. This one son, Ishmael, at this point. But God names him father of many. And it's like kind of ironic because it's like his name does not actually describe who he is in this moment. He's the father of one, not many, right? So it's ironic. And then Sarai is renamed, and God calls her Sarah. And Sarah, anyone want to take a guess what Sarah means? It means princess. It means princess. Okay? And what usually comes to mind when you think about a princess? Right? Pretty. Funny. Princess Peach. Yep. Wealthy. Sure. Uh-huh. Sure. All those things are great. All right? But yeah, like, right? Young. Maybe young is one of them. Right? Princesses are usually young, I would say. Sarah is, at this point, around 80 years old. She's not young, okay? Well, she's old. And also, another thing that comes to mind when you think about princess is royalty, right? Royalty comes to mind when I think about princess. And Sarah, at this point, she doesn't, like, there's no royalty. She's not like the daughter of a king or something. Queen Sarah, royalty. Maybe. So the funny thing is, God gives Abram and Sarai both these names, Abraham and Sarah, but it's completely ironic because it's completely opposite to actually who they are in the day. Okay? And I don't think God is really trying to be funny here. He's not like, I'm gonna give them these names to like really shove it in their face that they're not these things. Yeah, maybe kind of a metaphor. But, and you know what's even funny? When God tells Abraham that he's going to rename Sarai Sarah and that she's going to have children, Abram thinks it's funny. He laughs. It says one verse later, it says in verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? He thinks it's hilarious, but I don't think God is actually trying to be funny here. I think actually what God is doing, he's doing something very serious. He's giving Abraham and Sarah names. He's calling them names that actually reflect who he is making them to be. God calls Abraham the father of many because he is going to make Abraham the father of many. And he calls Sarah, which means princess, because actually we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but there's actually some sort of royalty that is going to come from her. Right? And I think this just makes me think about like the names that God calls people, the names that God has for us written in the Bible are actually super significant. It's super significant. And it's not because they always reflect actually who we are in the moment, but because actually the names that God calls us sometimes and a lot of time show us who God is transforming us to be. Okay? And it got me thinking about all the names that God has for us in the Bible. All right? And here's some as I just thought about today. God calls us, or in the New Testament, we're called saints. Okay? Or we're called heirs. Like an heir, like a princess is an heir to the queen or the king, right? Jesus calls us his friends, or we're called new creations, or we're called ambassadors for Christ. We're called temples of the Holy Spirit. We're called like a body of believers, and we all have these different functions. We're called citizens of heavens, and it says that we're no longer slaves, but we're free. And there's so many other names that God has for us in the Bible. And we can talk about all those things. And in small groups, we'll kind of talk about them a little bit. But one name that God calls us today, God calls you today, that I want to focus in on, is that all of us are children. We are children. We are God's sons and daughters. And that's what I just want to talk about for a little bit today. And why that has significance for you in this moment. All right. But first, I want to talk about why it's kind of ironic that God calls us his children, that God calls us his sons and his daughters. All right. Because, well, recently, you know, I guess if you didn't know, if you just found out, but Cass and I are going to have a baby soon or in September. And I've been thinking about, like, what is our daughter, like, going to look like? Will she look like, will she have, like, my eyes? Her eyes will be, like, a mixture. Like, what is our daughter going to look like? I think about it a lot. Because children often reflect their parents, how they look. Right? You can, yes? 0 at the age of 0. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But children often reflect their parents, like how they look, right? When you look at your sibling or when you look at yourself, you maybe like say to yourself, oh man, I kind of look like my mom and my dad, right? But it's not just physically that children often reflect how their parents look, but also children reflect how their parents like act. There's characteristics that you get from your parents. There's personality traits that you get from your parents, right? Like children are actually a reflection in a lot of ways of their parents. And it's kind of ironic that God calls us his children, because when I think about it, a lot of the time, I don't think people go around looking at us and being like, oh, that person looks like God's child. Like that person looks like God. That person looks like their father, God. Right? But a lot of the time, I think that like when we walk around, people are like our personalities and the characteristics about us and our hearts, they should be in tune with God's. But like when we're being honest, they don't reflect God a lot. Our actions don't reflect God a lot. Our words and our thoughts, they don't often reflect God, who is our Father, who calls us his children, right? We don't often, like, love mercy and pursue justice like God does. Or often we're not, like, humble or as generous as maybe a child of God would be, as God would be, right? But I think the amazing thing is that kind of like what we... as we're thinking about this passage today and how God calls Abraham the father of many and Sarah a princess, and it's ironic that God calls us his children, because oftentimes we don't look like his children, but also it's a reminder of who God is actually transforming us to be. God, we are God's children, and God is transforming us to even like look like his children, to reflect who he is as our father in a lot of ways. Right, God calls Abraham and Sarah names that aren't fully true in the moment, but he gives them these names to show them who he's going to transform them to be. And he calls us children to show us who he is transforming us to be. And children, like we said before, they should reflect their parents, right? And God will transform us actually to reflect him. And he does this by actually conforming us. In Romans 8:29, it says that for those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. God is actually conforming us to look like Jesus, the greatest son, the most perfect son, the one who most perfectly reflects God because he is God. That is who God is transforming us to reflect and be conformed to. You know, God calls us his children because he desires to give us life and give us life to the full, right? A life that is whole and healthy and meaningful. He desires that for each and every one of you. He desires for you to have a life that is whole and healthy and meaningful. And he actually does this by making us his children, by transforming us to not just like be called his children, but to actually reflect and act like his children, to actually be his children, by transforming us to be actually attached to Jesus, to be conformed to the image of Jesus, who is the greatest child, the perfect child, who is God himself. And so to really be transformed into a child of God, it's not just that we have to try harder to reflect God's image, but really, we need to be attached to who the most perfect child is, and that's Jesus. That's the way that we're really transformed to be a child of God, is by being attached to Jesus, who is the most perfect child, who is God himself. And, you know, I was just thinking about this passage and thinking about names and significance and children reflecting their parents, I started to think about like children who have been adopted before, right? When a child that's adopted first, it comes to their family's home. Oftentimes they don't look like their adopted parents. They don't really act like them. They don't have like those traits. But over time, as they spend days and days and days with their new family, they begin to like gain new characteristics and different personality traits. And then they begin to like reflect what their new adopted parents look like and what their hearts lean towards and what their desires are. They start to reflect those things about their new parents. And this happens over years as they dwell with their families, as they live with them. And soon they begin to reflect actually their adoptive parents in a lot of different ways. And so I just want to finish on this. Okay, God calls us children because he desires to transform us to become more like his children, to reflect him, right? But we don't always come at first. We don't always come into God's family looking exactly like him, right? We have flaws and imperfections, what the Bible calls sin. We don't always want to look like how God desires. Our desires aren't always in tune with God's desires. Our hearts are broken. We are broken people. And we don't always look like God. But the key is to dwell with him, to be where God is, to dwell in his home, to remember his presence that is with us always, to be communicating with him all the time, not just like for 5 minutes before bed as you're sleepy, but to remember that God is actually here right now, to be talking with God right now, to be in his presence right now, to live life with him, to live every part of life with him, no moment apart. That is how God is going to transform us as we dwell with him, as we dwell with Jesus who is alive, as we have the spirit of Jesus inside of us. That is how God transforms us, by us being with him and him being with us. So that our names aren't so ironic anymore, so that when God calls us his children, maybe sometime someone will think about you this way in their head. They're going to say, you know what, that person, I think that person is a child of God because they really look like God. They really reflect God, and I just see it in them. That's my prayer for all of us. That's my prayer for myself, that one day someone looks at me and says that. Not because I'm so amazing or I've done anything or tried so hard, but simply because I'm just trusting in Jesus and spending time with him. And I just look more and reflect more of the image of God. So think about that. Just as you go about your weeks, what does it mean for you to be a child of God? And what does it mean for God to transform you into his child, to reflect his image? All right, let's pray. God, we thank you that you call us your children. Because not only as children do we have the opportunity to reflect you, to be transformed into people who reflect you, but also even more than that, as our Father, you are the greatest Father. As a father should, you protect us and you love us. You don't cast us out because of any wrongs that we have, but you actually draw near to us and you hold us. Even when it's our own pain and destruction that we brought on ourselves, you draw near to us. So help us to remember that you are always with us. Help us to spend time with you, to be talking with you, and to remember that you are always near. And we just ask that you would just transform us to be more like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of your Son, of your perfect Son. We thank you for your love for us. We love you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.